My name is Jim Phillips. I am a theologian and a biblical scholar and a scholar of history. I've been teaching history and theology for 45 years. I'm also a Native American. My name is a traveling dog or Shukamiatataka in Lakota. About nearly 40 years ago, I began to write a series of essays about American Indian culture. I wanted to do something to help my people. They were pretty much displaced, turned into wards of the state. Their culture and life was destroyed. Their homes were destroyed. There were 5 civilized tribes. And they had large plantations in the South as early back as the 14s and 13s, 14s, and 1500s. The American Indian had genetically engineered and produced many varieties of hybrid corns, potatoes, tomatoes, peppers, many yams, and many varieties of all these. And they were great farmers. They were herbalists, medicine specialists, doctors. The women were treated as equals in the tribes. The children were traced to the mother and not to the father. Women had equal rights to vote. They did have colleges as early as 1716 and 1700, or seminaries, where women and girls could attend, as well as men and young boys. The culture was, in the North American Indian, was a democratic, well, a socialist democratic society. They held all things in common, the land. But in a territory, Indians could produce whatever they wanted to. Among the 5 civilized tribes, they had great farms and plantations and big homes. In the plains, the plains were created, the Great Plains. There was a lot of mesquite. The Indians burned those lands off for hundreds of years. They drove a buffalo all the way back to New York. And there were some wild lands in between in the Rockies and in the Tetons. As I wrote these essays, I tried to reach my people to bring them back to a culture. They had pretty much gone into alcoholism. I am real strong in Cherokee blood and Chickasaw, Lakota, light in Ojibwe, and Santee Dakota. Most of my family were alcoholics. My father was killed in 1949, robbing a liquor store in Long Beach, California. He had returned from World War II with post-traumatic stress disorder. Now they treat you for that. Then they did not. He lived for adrenaline rushes and alcohol. And this is the life so many Indians live for. Their culture was totally destroyed. They went from a superior, very proud, self-sufficient culture to wards. Of course, it was done on purpose. As I wrote these essays, they were sent out into the ghettos, missions, sometimes prisons, even Indian schools. They were run by Indians, by the way. Most Indian schools in the 1800s and early 1900s were run by denominational Presbyterian Catholic schools, whatever, and they pretty much beat the culture. Kill the Indian and save the man was the old story. Kill the Indian, save the man. Wash that Indian out of him. Well, in doing all this, they had become destroyed as a culture. They would not believe anything when a man brought a Bible to them because they had heard this so much. They had seen these Indian schools that had been tormented, beaten, abused. And so I had to come at them at a different angle. I had to come, or I believe I could come at my people from the angle of their own culture, and then tie that culture to the Bible and the God of the Bible, that they were the same God, and the information that was handed down to them, even though somewhat different than the Bible, was from the same God. And that there was really a more perfect way in the Bible, but I had to get around to getting them a foundation first and getting them to become human beings again. All the names of the tribes, Cherokee, Choctaw, Chickasaw, Lakota, Dakota, Nakota, Cheyenne, all of these names mean the human beings. I had to try to get them to be human beings again. And so I began to tell the story of the tribes as they stood 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 years ago. And to show them their lofty ideals, which today would seem very, very, what we call idealistic. But these idealistic ways work for them. The story I'm going to tell you right now is about a scout. I was a hunter and a what you might call a scout or a guide on the Tejon Ranch in the Greenhorn Mountains and the White Mountains, different places where I knew the land well. And I would take people and I'd try to teach them about the land, about the animals, about the psychology, the philosophy of life and the animal structure and how animals thought. Well, this story about the scout is the one that went ahead of the tribes and protected the people from front and rear and sides. The life and occupation of the scout among the people, the human beings, is what I mean. The one feather signifies a simple reward from the lofty clouds, a thing that once touched the heavens. A scout had one feather. It was, and these feathers were a coup or an award or a medal of honor. And he wore one. And of course the eagle, the golden eagle, his life was much in the sky. And which is where the God of Heavens, Wankantaka, lives. Taka Shila. Skan Taku. A scout is a practicer of truth, a truth bearer. His word must be trusted. His word is the life or the death of the tribe. If a truth was spoken over the pipe and it was not carried out, the pipe must be broken, stem and bowl, and buried with respect. Earlier I told you about the pipe ceremony where when you called God in to witness something and you breathed in that, you had called God there to witness whatever you were going to do, and he put his signature on the treaty or the marriage or whatever it was. And so you couldn't break that treaty. If you did break that treaty, you had ceased being a human being. This was a broken physical thing carried out by the word or action that broke the pipe. A scout is one with the trees and grasses. He learns to become a tree, a rock, or a blade of grass. He learns to feel their emotions. He learns the smells of the plants and all animals. The scout learns to outwit the enemy. The stealth of the coyote, the wisdom of the true dog, Shugamiatataka, the wolf that follows the buffalo herd, and that is my name, and the coolness of the grizzly bear. The true scout learns the language of the sky and of the wind. He knows when it is going to rain, snow, storm, or be fair. The scout remembers that while he is watching, others are watching him. The scout is a giver, but he also learns to receive respectfully. The scout could hunt, but he was not a hunter. The scout was food, the food of the people. He found food for the people. He was the one that went out and found the buffalo herds, found the few remaining deer or elk or buffalo or whatever in the wintertime when the people so needed wood, so needed food. The scout is a human being. He is one of the people. They all depend upon him. The scout can fight when he has to fight, but he is not a warrior. The scout is the eyes. The scout is the ears. The scout is the nose. And the scout is the touch and the heart of the people. The scout yields neither to anger nor lust. He wears honor. He wears his honor over his heart. He has mastered self-control. A scout never lives with uncertainty. He always does that which is right. A scout is not a healer, but he is able to discern what will heal. The scout learns to move silently through the enemy lines as the owl flies silently through the night. The scout remembers grandfather, which is God. He gives us only one day at a time. He always looks to the west and remembers, seldom do we know when our lives shall come to an end. Make sure time of each day, grandfather, has been given. Make sure time of each day that grandfather has given us. He remembers man needs a reference point. That reference point is our grandfather. That reference point is always the scout because he can be depended upon. He is the warner of the people. He is the leader of the people. He is a protector of the people. At the end of his journey, a true scout can say, I have finished my journey. Truth absorbed me. I see with a vision that cannot be obscured. Grandfather, give me wings that I may come to you. These things the grandfathers have handed down and told to us. Thank you for listening. I hope that this enlightens your heart about the thoughts and customs of the American Indian. I hope it makes you look inside, even as a Christian, and make you a better person. I pray these words touch your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.